Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 21, Bali Maharaj arrested by the Lord, text number 33, without a purport. Far from being elevated to the heavenly planets or fulfilling one's desire, one who does not properly give a beggar what he has promised falls down to a hellish condition of life. Text 34. Vipralabdo dada miti. Vayaham chaya manina tad vilika palam bhungshva nirayam karichit sama. Vipralabdha. Now I am cheated. Dadami, I promise. I shall give you. Iti, thus. Tvaya, by you. Aham, I am. Cha, also. Adya manina, by being very proud of your opulence. Tat. Therefore, Yalika Palam, as a result of cheating, Bhungshva, you enjoy Nirayam, in hellish life, Kati Chit, a few, Sama, years. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Do we have a nectar of instruction in here? Being falsely proud of your possessions, you promised to give me land, but you cannot fulfill your promise. Therefore, because your promise is false, you must live for a few years in hellish life. Purport. The false prestige of thinking, I am very rich, and I possess such vast property, is another side of material life. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one else possesses anything. This is the real fact. Ishavasham idam sarvam yat kinchit jagatyam jagat. Bali Maharaj was undoubtedly the most exalted devotee, whereas previously he had maintained a misunderstanding due to false prestige. By the supreme will of the Lord, he now had to go to the hellish planets, but because he went there by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he lived there more opulently than one can expect to live in the planets of heaven. Devotee always lives with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engaging in his service, therefore he is always transcendental to hellish or heavenly residences. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Bali Maharaj Arrested by the Lord. Here it mentions the false prestige about identifying oneself as the proprietor of some part of the material world. Now, how to give up that sense of false prestige, that's part of the science of Krishna consciousness. It is not that we one day wake up and we decide, I'm no longer the proprietor. Although, it's possible, but extremely difficult. Therefore, as it says in the nectar of instruction, which we don't have so far. Oh, you have a nectar of instruction. But here we also have another nectar of instruction. So this is text number 8. Anyone know text number 8 by heart? Begins Tanama Rupacharitadi Sakirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasanama Nasi Niyoja Tishtan Vraje Tanatadak Vrajan Anugami Jananugami Kalam naya akilam idipadesha saram. Tanama charitaru sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasanamanasinioja tishtan vraje tanunag tanunami anugami anuragi jananugami anuragi ragi means actually passion anu continuous passion actually spiritual passion. Jana Nugami are those who have such passion for Krishna. Tishtan Nayan Akilam Itapadesha Sara. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in eye sleep, chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. Which verse is this from the Shikshastika? Anyone ever recite the Shiksha or heard the Shikshastika? Well, maybe in 20 years we'll remember. Which verse is this similar to in the Shikshastika? No. Well, since there's only 8 verses, we've eliminated 2 of them so far. We're getting quite close. Pick a number from 1 to 8. What verse says we to chant Hare Krishna all the time? What's that? Third, yes. Trinana pisani chena tariva sihishnuna amayana madanena kirtini yaksadahari. To always chant Hare Krishna. The essence of all advice, one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes. So the part of it which deals with chanting 24 hours a day. In this way, so this is preliminary, before we can reside. In this way, one should reside in Goloka Vrindavan and serve Krishna under the guidance of the devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So, and what's the qualifications to chant all the time? Yes. Okay.
And to be respectful.
One more.
Yes,
be tolerant. Humble, tolerant, respectful, and without false prestige. So, what is the preliminary thing? Prabhupada says, this is from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's purport. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. So that's the first point. Always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. So the beginnings with Shravanam, hearing. And hearing Krishna Katha is meant to convince us of what? That Krishna is, well, the Supreme Personality of God. This is called Shravana Dasa. Spelled almost like dasa, but it's actually dasha means the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can attain the stage of acceptance called varna dasa. When one attains the stage, he becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Katha. So this is the first stage. We want to hear as much as possible. At that stage, one can come to the stage of acceptance. That we're hearing all the time, Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Now we have to consider, how much do I accept that? During the day, does Krishna's proprietorship kind of get nullified in my mind during the day?
And suddenly I become the proprietor.
As I said before, we walk into the temple with a halo around our head. We walk out little horns to go back in our normal state of being. So this is the development of Krishna consciousness, to gradually hear in such a way as we come to accept. That one day we say, okay, Krishna is God. Okay, I accept it. I finally accept it. It only took me 55 years, but it was all right. It was worth it. Okay, Krishna, it's all yours. And then at the stage of Varna Dasa, then there's no more hankering and lamenting. Because if we accept Krishna owns everything, there's no reason to hanker for everything, anything, because it would make any difference. Or lament over the fact that we don't have something, because we can't get anything, we can't lose anything. And if we accept that, then there's no more material misery, which all comes out of hankering and lamenting. It becomes attached, and then one can become attached to the hearing of Krishna Gata. Why? Because then it becomes experiential. Then the hearing actually gives us an experience, a realization. And when we hear, we chant the name, when we chant about Krishna, we actually experience Krishna. And Krishna is full of all varieties of transcendental pleasure and awareness, overgrowing awareness. So, the more one chants, the more one experiences, therefore one becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Gata. Then when one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the state of Smarana Vasta, the state of remembering. In the English they have recollection, recollection, meditation, recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance of the five stages of progressive Krishna Smarana. So this is the more advanced stage, when we go from acceptance and then we come to the platform of absorption, recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated. It's called meditation. When meditation expands, it becomes constant, it's called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi or spiritual trance. After smarana dasa, or samadhi, is fully developed, the soul comes to the understanding of his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relation with Krishna. This is called sampati dasa, perfection of life. So it goes from Shravana Dasa to Varna Dasa to Smarana Vasta to Sampati Das. And it all begins, and the foundation is hearing. So if we learn how to hear, then we'll actually develop some attraction. And why can't we hear? What's the problem with hearing? Because we don't want to hear. Because if we actually heard, then we'd have to give up our false prestige. And it's the last thing we want to give up. We'd rather give up our life than this idea that I'm simply an eternal servant, the servant of the servant. All right, I'm the servant of Krishna, but I'm the servant of Krishna's servants. This is too much. I don't like some of those servants. Why should I serve them? So that's the main problem. Is we don't want to become the servants of the servant. Yes, all right, I'm Dasa, Dasa, and Adasa, but just don't ask me to do anything, please. It's too much. I mean, it was bad enough I had to admit I'm a servant, but then you ask me to do something and prove it? Ah, no way. Next lifetime. And then Prabhupada writes, Chaitanya Charitamrita advises those who are neophytes to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in the regulative devotional service of the Lord according to the directions of the scriptures. So this is called, at the beginning we have to perform Vaidhi Bhakti because we're attached. If we weren't attached, we wouldn't be in the material world. We wouldn't be in material consciousness if we were already pure. So it takes a little bit, at least a basic humility to realize I'm conditioned. And how do I know I'm conditioned? Because I think I'm this body. And if I think I'm this body, then I must be conditioned, because I'm not the body. Now if I think, well, why should I admit I'm conditioned and have to perform this boring sadhana bhakti, this boring vaidhi bhakti? I want to become spontaneous and just do as I feel in Krishna. Well, then we have to come back life after life in the material world doing what we feel like for Krishna, not doing what Krishna feels like. And Krishna feels like that we should give up our motivated material desires, as it says here, and try to engage our mind in hearing and chanting, as it said previously. So that means that we have to follow a schedule, so that our schedule means that as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, we should arrange our lives in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. So that's perfection of organization. Organize our lives in such a way is that throughout the 24 hours a day, we cannot help but think about Krishna. Sounds familiar in this verse? That's 1865, the purport. Now, we thinking about Krishna, I have so many things I want to think about. Why should I just think about Krishna? Maybe the gopis have nothing to do because, you know, they're living in a village and they're primitive coward girls. And somehow or another they became in love with this blackish boy, coward boy. But for me, I got a lot of other things to do. My life is pretty busy. Come on, you know. Simply engage in regular devotional service to the Lord according to the directions of the scripture, those boring books from so many years ago, with this philosophy that puts me to sleep. I got to follow those directions. Yes, yes, Krishna, tell me. Tell me what to do, I'm ready. I'm your slave. Don't hit me, Master. In this way, a devotee, a neophyte, can gradually develop attachment for Krishna. So again, this is following the same thing as it said before. If we want to gain attachment, then we have to become more and more strict and steady in devotional service. That doesn't mean we don't do service according to our inspiration. For instance, Prabhupada gives the example in the Nectar Devotion that we're asked to become a pujari and decorate the deity. So at first we do it according to a certain way, how we're directed, and then we may become a little bit more, when we become expert, a little bit more, we rise earlier, we try to decorate them a little bit nicer, etc., etc. So but we don't decide, I don't like the way Krishna smiles, so therefore we get a bottle of paint, we repaint his smile the way we like it. That's not service. But we may make nicer flower garlands, or we may try to decorate the altar a little bit nicer, according to the way Krishna would like it. And that's called spontaneous. So first we do it in a regulative way. We get up, and the pujari gets up before Mangalarti and opens the curtain and wakes the deity. Not that he thinks, oh, I had a dream last night, Krishna looked a little tired, and I'm a little tired, I think we'll get up a little, 2 hours later, put up a little sign the night before, Krishna is tired, he's oversleeping, come back in 2 hours, and wake the pujari up too. No, we have to follow the principle of regulation although it may be inconvenient. Therefore, Krishna says, it's not necessarily always pleasant. As he said, yat taragre vishamiva parinami ritopamam tatsukam satikam proktam atmabuddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, and at the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So it's bitter. To sit down at the beginning of the day and plan out our day is very bitter. It takes away all our spontaneity. What I feel like doing. I feel like going on the internet and surfing it a little bit. I always like surfing. It excites my mind. It gets me away. But now I have to sit down and plan out my day, and I'm getting discouraged. The only pleasure I get during the day is when I surf the internet, but now I'm being forced to sit down and make a schedule. I feel discouraged. I'm in prison. I'm not getting my inspiration. I got to get inspired by serving Krishna during the day, but I need a little bit, you know, other thing to get me enlivened, get me going. A little cup of coffee would help, but I'm not allowed, so I need something else. No, as much as one becomes serious, one may do that in a regulated way. Also, it's not so bad if it's regulated. But one day one may think, well, let me plan out my day, and if we get enough taste and happiness from our service during the day, then we may think, well, why do I need this? You know, hearing about all these crazy people that are running around the world, why do I have to hear about them? And therefore we take up that time in Krishna consciousness too. So as long as one keeps one's life regulated and then gradually develops a taste, then gradually as one accepts everything favorable, then naturally one will give up things which are unfavorable. And then one will think that I don't need all this security and all these other things. Krishna will maintain me, Krishna will protect me, and that I have no interest outside of Krishna's interest, and then one can always feel meek and humble. So the process begins with hearing, but hearing in such a way is that we actually start to give up all kinds of motivated desires. Not that we sit there and we listen or whatever we are doing, and we keep our desires, the tenth offense, not give up our desires, but we think, I'll just keep my desires and hear and chant about Krishna. No, give up all kinds of motive and engage in regular devotional service of the Lord according to the directions of Scripture. And this way, devotee, a neophyte can come to the Varna Dasa. Gradually, one can conquer the mind, and when the mind says, no, you deserve a break, too much during the day. Your brain is overheating, you need a little maya to cool it down. One is not so much tricked by the illusory energy. Yes, Maya, finally you appeared to save me. I was getting too serious. And then one will become attached, because one can actually experience Krishna. How do we experience Krishna? Because Krishna reveals himself. When he sees we're sincere, what is sincere? We weren't born sincere. Krishna doesn't say, I think you have a sincere face. I think I'll reveal myself to you. No, Krishna, he sees that we're actually giving up our material attachment. We're letting our material attachments flow through our mind, and we're accepting the instructions of Shastra, Guru Sadhana Shastra. When he sees that, then he reveals himself in his name, form, quality, and pastimes, and we experience the name, form, quality, and pastimes. They're not just some kind of vibration that we're throwing out or we're hearing. It actually becomes an transcendental experience. And then one becomes attached to it and becomes more encouraged to make more progress. And when one has developed such attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna even without following the regular principles. Then one comes to the spontaneous platform because the mind doesn't want to go away from Krishna no matter what one is doing. At that time, the devotee can follow in the footsteps of one of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. So the state of nishta, when one has no attachment to material desires, then one will naturally become inspired to follow a particular type of service internally, to render service in Vrindavan. That's called Raganuga Bhakti, and Raganuga Bhakti is spontaneous devotional service, etc. There are five different types of devotional service in Raganuga Bhakti. So that's the essence of all the instructions. So this coming to the platform of accepting that Krishna owns everything begins with hearing. Hearing and giving up, as it says here, all kinds of on the basis of hearing and understanding, giving up all kinds of motivated activities and material attachments, and then becoming strict in following the regular principles according to the scriptures, and then gradually the same activity goes on, but then Krishna becomes pleased with our efforts to serve him, and he reveals himself in his name and his forms, his quality and his pastimes, and then one becomes attached because there's so much happiness and pleasure associating with Krishna and his associates that one wants to do it all the time. And then when one becomes attached like that, then one naturally, gradually, one's particular feelings are awakened to a certain type of service to Krishna, and then one can accept particular associate in Vrindavan and render service within their mind to Krishna in that particular rasa. And then one comes to the perfection, sampatidasa. One realizes one's eternal relation with Krishna. As one Krishna reveals himself more and more, along with his name, form, quality, associates, and pastimes. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
What is correlation between experiences and realizations?
Well, unless there's realization, well, we can realize something theoretically. Krishna can give us some insight into when we assimilate the philosophy, and then we realize, oh, that's what it means. So that's a realization. And then if we follow that realization, put it into practice in our lives, and Krishna is pleased with us, especially if we can pass the test that Krishna may give us, then the result is that when Krishna reveals himself, then we have experience of Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Okay.
Avadhuta Rai Prabhu is asking, how activities that are not directly bhakti but are offered to the Lord will not deviate one from pure devotional service with proper motivation?
Well, I understood everything except for the last couple of words. Without proper motivation?
So I can read again. How activities that are not directly bhakti but are offered to the Lord will not deviate one from pure devotional service with proper motivation?
Well, I need an example of something that's not bhakti. I mean, one can, for instance, one can go to work and offer the results to Krishna. That's also bhakti. Although it's so, what does it mean it's not bhakti? We can't cook a chicken and then offer it to the Lord, because that's outside of bhakti. We have to offer Krishna what he wants. But if we do something which is not against what Krishna wants, we do it to according to a Guru Sadhana Shastra, and we do it to please Krishna, then that's within bhakti also.
So he just wrote, as per Vishwanath, one is first karma mishra bhakta, then jnana mishra bhakta, and at the end one becomes a pure bhakta. So the question, Is it a must to go through these stages, or is it is there?
No, you can immediately absorb the mind in Krishna consciousness. There's no need to be attached. Prabhupada gives the definition. 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 10. That one knows that the goal of life is to reach Krishna, but one is attached to the results of one's activities, one is said to be acting karma yoga. So that's just like, that's the first two stages of the neophyte devotees in distress, wanting material gain. He knows that the goal of life is Krishna, but one is attached to the results of one's activities to achieve those two things. But one knows that the goal of life is to reach Krishna, but one takes pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, one is said to be acting in Jnana Yoga. So that's the next two things, inquisitive and gaining knowledge for one's eternality. But one can immediately act in Krishna consciousness. There's no need. At any moment we can simply hear and chant about Krishna and appreciate, understand things properly. Krishna's a proprietor. I'm doing this to please, this is what Krishna wants me to do, and I'm doing it to please him. Then that's beyond karma and yoga immediately. As Prabhupada said, one can attain Krishna consciousness in one moment or not after millions of years. It's only a question of understanding and accepting the fact. So we can do it immediately, at least for a moment, or a minute, or a year, or whatever. Or it may take millions of years if we keep on acting in karma yoga or jnana yoga, or even fall down to vikarma. So it's a question of accepting. Understanding by hearing and chanting, then varna dasa, accepting, and then we can concentrate the mind on Krishna. We come to the stage of smarna vasta, and then we gradually realize sampati dasa, our eternal identity in relation with Krishna.
Yeah. One more question. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha speaks about performing Vaidhi mixed with Raga. When one's goal is pure Raganuga, can you please describe this mixture of Bhakti?
Well, I'm not familiar, but Prabhupada writes the Nectar Devotion. One may not be on the stage of Raganuga Bhakti, as described here, because one has to come to the stage of nishtha first. But still, there may be some rag in there to improve one's service and do it nice, more nicely. So that's a kind of rag also. It's transcendental passion to improve one's service, do it more nicely for Krishna. Although one may not be completely on the stage of raganuga bhakti, but there's an element of rag there. As Prabhupada gives the example, first one performs devotional service out of order of the spiritual master and shastra, but later on one becomes attracted to decorate the deities more nicely. Get up a little earlier and serve them a little bit better. So that's also raga, although it may not be on the complete platform of raganuga bhakti. Anything else?
One question from Bhakti Yoga Tilburg.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, what to do when you cannot find out what Krishna wants you to do in certain situations? When, for instance, you don't know which moral or social principle is more important in that situation, or when these principles hamper your devotional service?
What do? You don't do anything. You humbly investigate. That's what it says in the Bhagavad Gita. You humbly investigate. And you make yourself eligible to receive Krishna's, the awareness of the knowledge that Krishna can give, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Dham. By making our service more steady, more enthusiastic, under the guidance of Krishna's devotees. And if we humbly pray to Krishna and try to ascertain by inquisitiveness when we become eligible, then Krishna will reveal it to us. Blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. So we wait for that clear understanding by submission, service, and inquiry. And when it comes, then when we understand everything clearly, then we can act. That's Krishna consciousness. If we don't understand what Krishna wants us to do, we can't understand what Guru, Sadhana, Shastra are telling us. We don't do anything till we find out. Otherwise, it's called whimsical. And that sort of duty, Prabhupada writes, is not in Krishna consciousness. That order of Krishna comes down through the bona fide spiritual master, through disciples' succession. So if one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's success in life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. Anything else? That's it. Grandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.